Our scripture this morning is Psalm 46. I know that's not what it says in the bulletin. But as I was studying my message this morning, and just in case you wonder, yeah, I do have one. God said, you cannot preach that this morning. It'll have to wait until next week. But right now, my people need a word of hope. My people need a message of grace. And so I began praying and I said, well, Lord, I'm going to church in 15 minutes. Not to rush you or anything, but clearly you got something on your heart you want me to say. Could you tell me what it is? And he just kept saying Psalm 46. And so I ran and got my non-preaching Bible out and looked up Psalm 46. And I said, oh, Lord, yeah. Yeah, I see where you're going with that. I see what you want to say. And so we'll get back to Brother Jeremiah next Sunday morning. And just, you know, kind of to bring that, I don't want us to cut into what God wants to say to us this morning, but we will begin our chosen Bible study next Sunday night, okay? And so I hope that you'll come and be a part of that. Obviously, we're going to waive off from that 2 weeks. 1 week will be when the FCA comes, and then the other week will be the second Sunday in October, because Living Testament will be at Fairview, and we are certainly going to go and support our brother Mark Roth and his band, amen? So we will waive off for 2 weeks in October, but we will be up there for that. What do you do when your whole world comes crashing in? Where do you turn? You know, I love that song from Matt Maher. I told you the last time that we sang it. Brother Matt did not write that song to make the radio. He wrote that song to teach his children to memorize the Ten Commandments. That's another song. He wrote that song to teach his children the Lord's Prayer. Okay? And if you've heard that song on the radio a couple of times, even if you didn't have the Lord's Prayer memorized, you do now. Okay? Close enough, right? Those that have had me know that I'm not one that's a stickler, that you get it exactly word for word right. As long as you can give to me the meat on the bones, as long as you can tell me the gist of the verse, you got it, okay? And so, a lot of the Psalms, as we've seen in preaching through the Psalms, some of them are Psalms where the psalmist is asking God to take vengeance on someone that is harming the psalmist. Some of them are Psalms of hope. Psalm 23, obviously, everybody in here, it's a psalm of hope. It's a song or a psalm of joy. Psalm 46 tells us that God is our refuge and our strength. So where do you turn when your whole world comes crashing down? You turn to God, who is a very present help in times of trouble. Psalm 46, and in honor of the reading of God's word, let's stand. For the choir director, a psalm of the sons of Korah, set to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth, who makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. Let's pray. Lord, what a powerful psalm for us to consider this morning as we look around at the devastation in our county and in the counties around us. And God, we do pray that we would do exactly what your psalm has told us to do, to cease striving and to know that you are God. God, we just pray that as you illumine the heart and mind of the sons of Korah, that you would illumine our hearts and minds this morning as well, as we offer to you our love, our lives, and this prayer. In and through the name of our risen Lord and Master, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Where do you turn when your whole world comes crashing down upon you? Sadly, in our culture, increasingly, we turn to the government. The Bible says that we need to turn to God because He is a very present help in trouble. In Hebrew, that can also be translated abundantly available for help. Abundantly available for help. You know, if you've ever been on a mission trip, and I never will forget, Angie will never forget either. The first time we were in Belize, we had this bus, and it was like this electric booger green. Okay, I mean, I know I never thought I'd use the word booger in a sermon, but I mean, those of you that have seen this bus know that it was like this electric green. And we had pulled into a village, into Mayomopan, and we were going to be handing out food. Okay, and so we had food in the back of the bus, and I got out the back door, and I'm standing there, and my back is against the bumper of the bus, and I'm immediately thronged. I'm thronged. People were 20, 25 deep. My only escape would have been, if I could have moved, to have gotten back inside the back of the bus. And I knew that we didn't have an unlimited supply of food. I didn't have enough faith, did I? Those of y'all that were with us in Belize in 2022, watch God do a fishes and loaves miracle. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you about that in just a minute. But there was a fixed amount of food that I could hand out. And then I would have to say, we're out. I'm sorry. The psalm says that God is abundantly available to help. God never runs out. He never runs out. 2022, we had an amazing Bible school at Bullet Tree Baptist Church. It was the first time that our team had gone, and we spent the entire week in one place doing Bible school. We used to go and do just one or maybe two-day Bible schools, and I never really liked that. And finally, we were able to settle down at Bullet Tree and have a full week of Bible school. And my mom had given me some money to, because God always shows us something that that needs to be done that we didn't budget for. And so I said, okay, we're going to feed the village on Thursday night, and I'm going to use the money that you gave to me to provide that meal, and that blessed my mom's heart. And so Junior and Brandy went and got, Belizeans love hot dogs, by the way. And so Junior and Brandy went and got the hot dogs and the hot dog buns. Like I told you in another sermon, you don't just go to Food City and say, I need 100 packs of hot dog buns. You have to go to the bakery the day before and tell them, I'm going to need this many hot dog buns. Okay? And so I've got a picture of Bullet Tree Baptist Church, and it literally was standing room only. We couldn't have gotten more than maybe two or three more people in the building. Okay? And I've got an app on my watch. It's called Count. And it's designed that I can just stand there and tap the face of my watch and count as whatever it is I'm trying to count. And so as we dismissed our Bible school assembly that night on Thursday night, I go to the door between the church and the new pavilion, and I'm counting as every Belizean walks out of that door. I didn't count us. I counted as the Belizeans walked out the door. I knew how many hot dogs we had, how many we were prepared for. Okay? And once I looked at my watch and I knew that we were now over that number, I began praying, God, I need a fishes and loaves kind of miracle. I need to be able to feed all of these Belizeans tonight. And God just gave me a peace. And I went to the team members and I said, none of us eats until every Belizean has been fed. And we enjoyed the best bologna sandwiches we've ever had in our lives, because we ran slap out of hot dogs, but every Belizean ate as much as they wanted. I've seen God move abundantly. Those of you that went to Belize with us in the early days know that I used to carry most of our money. And I'd get up in the morning before I left the mission house and I'd count how much money I had. And I'd go out and I'd buy the things that we needed, groceries or supplies for building and all of the things that we needed. And I'd come back to the mission house in the evening and I'd count the money back out, and I had more money in my pouch when I got home at the end of the day than I'd left the mission house with at the beginning of the day. I've seen it happen more than one time. God is able. He is a very present help in trouble. He is abundantly able. Listen, beloved, our community has been devastated. Newport has been devastated even more. The Western North Carolina area has been devastated. I was listening to WMIT yesterday, and the people, the on-air personalities, were telling me that they've been at the radio station since Friday. They haven't been able to go home. They have no electricity. They have no internet. They're doing radio old school. I mean, even one of the DJs, and this is a man that he's new to them, and I'm like, I need to call this guy, because God is really ministering to me through this guy, because he's got a heart for Jesus, okay? So many times, and I'm not criticizing some of the other Christian ministries, but sometimes if you were flipping through the dial, you would never know that you were listening to a Christian radio station, because they're talking about America's Got Talent or whatever, okay? This guy's talking about Jesus, okay? This guy's talking about Jesus and how we can share our faith. And he says, I'm guilty of this. He said, most of the time, my Bible is an app on my phone. But he said, I have no phone today, and so I'm going old school, and I'm opening God's Word. And he said, it's so refreshing. I'm not criticizing you if you read the Bible on a device. I do. But my primary is a printed book that I can open, that I can come in contact with. And listen, beloved, what I want to do is encourage you, is that our area is going through this. I mean, we're here this morning. Most of us have been mildly impacted, maybe moderately impacted. I know, ask you again on Wednesday when we've been 3 days without water, and you're going to be going, preacher, this is bad. Yeah, it's bad. But listen, beloved, it's just stuff. It's just stuff. God is a very present help in trouble. Abundantly able to help. My Bible says that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Okay? And so God is going to help us through this storm. Look at their conclusion. Verse 2. Therefore, we will not fear. We will not fear. Faith displaces fear. And beloved, the reason that the sons of Korah could say that God was abundantly able to help is because they'd been there and they'd done that. The t-shirt got washed away in the flood, but they had been there and done that. And they had seen how God was abundantly able to help. And so when the next storm came into their lives, they were able to encourage those around them and say, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. Because we've seen this happen before. We've seen God move. Verses 3 and 4. Though its waters roar and foam. Boy, that one got me when I was reading it. How about you? Because we've been there. We've done that. We're in the middle of it right now. I mean, I've always loved driving out the Asheville Highway. Amen. And when I approached that bridge in South Greene, you can ask Angie, I always slow down just a little bit. Because that's just isn't that just the most beautiful dam? Okay. And you just kind of stop and go, wow, that's really pretty. And then as Angie is watching this on Facebook and she shows me pictures of it, I was seeing it foam and roar. I'd never seen the river that disturbed. Now, I do remember the first year I came here. It was a lady that was living in that trailer right there across from Mike and Amy. And she was coming to church here, and she made a profession of faith. And it had been raining like the whole time. It's like Concord called me and it started raining on Monday. I don't know when it started raining, but it started raining a lot. And that's how I learned that you can get out of the community on Flea Ridge or on Philippi, because those roads generally didn't flood, okay? And so we were flooded, and the Nolichucky, she was running right swift. And we were baptizing on land that Mark and Beth owned down on the bottoms. And I walked out into that river for my first baptism as a preacher, my first baptism, okay? And that water was running swift. And I got up to about knee high, and I said, Lord, I ain't going no further out into that river, all right? I'm a scrawny little thing, and I'm not going any further out into that river. And so I stopped and turned around to face the congregation, and the lady started coming out, and did I mention she outweighed me? Okay. She's bigger than I was. And when she came out, I leaned down and whispered in her ear, when I start to take you down, squat. Okay. And we got her all the way under and up, and everything was okay, but that was the last time that I'd seen the Nolichucky run that ferociously. But the sons of Korah are writing this song, and this is not just bravado. This is not just saying, you know, we're super Christians and y'all aren't. They're saying, look, we have seen the waters roar. We have seen the waters foam. We have seen the mountains quake at its swelling pride. And then they call for you, you know, just kind of translating the Bible into East Tennessee, and you've heard preachers tell you what Selah means. And the proper term is, stick your pinky out, pause. Okay? The East Tennessee is, think on that thing. Think on what they just said. Think on what the psalmist just said. Stop and think about it as long as you need to get your mind wrapped around what the psalmist is saying. Though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, Selah. Whatever you do, don't think about a pink elephant. Y'all are all thinking about pink elephants now, right? See, that's what he's doing in verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad. He recognizes that when you're looking at the Nolichucky about to burst its banks, that's concerning. And it can cause you to be fearful. And what the sons of Korah are telling us is, yes, that's significant. We're not going to pretend that it's not. But what I want you to know is that there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. And that river can overflow all it wants to. The holy places, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. And so do you see what they're doing? They're telling us in verse 1 and 2 that there's this fear that comes when these natural disasters come into our lives. It's natural, beloved. I mean, here's this lady. The single largest investment in her life is gone. Okay? And money might build her a new one, but it's not the same thing. It will never be the same. Ever. But Jesus says, I go to prepare a dwelling place for you. And if I go, I'll come back and take you where I am. So yeah, you've lost this dwelling place on earth, and Jesus is not minimizing that. And the sons of Korah are not minimizing that. They're saying, yes, this causes us fear when we see these things happening. But I want you to understand that there's a river. Focus your mind on what God is going to do when Jesus returns. Focus your heart and your mind on what God is doing and where that river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. Verses 5 and 6. Why is that important? Because God is in the midst of her. I said God is in the midst of her. You know, I was down underneath our bed this morning looking for something. And one of my cats came to help me. She thought she could help me find it. And so she, you know, rubbing against my face. Daddy's down here in the floor. He must want to give me some loving. Okay. And y'all know I'm an old man. I couldn't see underneath that bed. And so, you know, every time I'm in a situation like that, I say, Lord, I am so yearning for the day when there will be no need of light because the light will come from you. Can I get a witness? I'm so yearning for the day when these things are gone, okay? And these things. I'm like, I know about 3 seconds before my phone's going to ring because it makes a noise in my hearing aids first. And like, I'll go to answer my phone, and Angie's going, how did he know his phone was going to ring? I broke the magic now, didn't I? God is in the midst of her, beloved. God is in the midst of where he's going to take us. And she, the New Jerusalem, will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. And then God tells us about the rest of the history of this world in verses 6 and 7. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms totter. And don't you love what it says in verse 6? He raised his voice. The kingdoms tottered. The earth melted. The earth melted. God, listen to me, beloved. God spoke this world, this universe into existence, and he's going to speak it out. All right? God is promising to us that no matter what it looks like, that no matter how many swords Mr. Putin rattles about him unleashing nukes, that no matter what it looks like with Israel attacking Lebanon and Israel attacking Gaza and Iran and the Houthis and all of that that's going on in the Middle East and our minds naturally turn to the Valley of Armageddon and we're worrying that World War III is in the midst, the Bible says the nations made an uproar, the kingdoms tottered, he raised his voice, the earth melted. Because God is in the midst of her. He is in the midst of His kingdom. He is in the midst of all that is going on in this world. You come and ask me, Pastor, why did God let it rain so much? Why did God let that hurricane come in and impact so many people and then impact our area? I don't know. I don't know. I do know that it's within the plan of God. And I do know that God is going to be glorified. Okay? He's going to be glorified. And we need to find how God is going to use us in that glorification. Yeah, I told y'all, Angie was scared because I have no notes. Okay, let's move on quickly. Verses 8 through 11. Look at what they say. Come, behold the works of the Lord. Come and behold the works of Yahweh, who has wrought desolations in the earth. Never forget, listen to me, beloved, never forget that the world you and I enjoy today is the result of God's wrath. This world was created by the flood. Not the one of this weekend. The flood. Okay? Imagine what it was like in the beginning. Okay? Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He will. He will. There is going to be one final war, and then it will cease. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. And here's where I want to stand, verses 10 and 11. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Oh, beloved, when we stop striving, when we stop kicking against the goads of the Holy Spirit, when we stop resisting what it is that God wants to do in our lives, then God will be exalted in our life and among the nations. Why? The Lord of hosts is with us. That should be enough right there, beloved. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Think on that thing. Think on that thing. The Lord of hosts is with us. God was with us before the storm. God was with us in the storm. And God is with us after the storm. God is with us. He is our stronghold. Will we cease striving and know that He is God?